business rock stars. Now let's go to Mark Lack.
Lawrence Wehner is joining us right now. He's the CEO of BDIC. It's a pleasure to have you on the show with us.
Hi, pleasure. Thank you very much for having me this morning.
So BDIC, what do you guys do?
We are a criminal offender monitoring company. We do breath alcohol ignition interlock devices for DUI offenders with a future outlook on ankle monitoring for, you know, different types of criminal offender monitoring, whether it's, you know, home-based, work-based, whatever the case may be.
Well, we've had a lot of people come through the doors. We've never had somebody come in who's got that kind of a business.
Right.
How'd you get into this space?
Well, it's, you know, kind of a long story. You know, I had a friend of mine who was a DUI attorney who mentioned to me the opportunity and the new laws that were passing. I had a very large tax resolution business that, you know, the government had changed some rules. We had some things. I was looking for a new business to get into. So I took the money I made there and got into this criminal offender monitoring space as these laws have gotten tougher and tougher over the last few years.
So the business, how do you actually monetize it? What do you guys do?
We lease the devices to the offender.
The breathalyzer devices?
The breathalyzer, right, which is installed in their vehicle and monitors their breath alcohol level. You know, if they blow positive over a 0.02, because it's basically zero tolerance, they've already been convicted of an offense, then their vehicle will not start and they can't drive their vehicle. Also, a lot of states have gone to compliance-based removal. So if they get, you know, enough of those or any of those in the last several months of their sanction, they'll have to keep it even longer. So we lease that to them on a monthly basis once they're done with the program, and the state allows them to remove that from the vehicle. They return that to us, and we just put it in somebody else's vehicle, and we collect monthly fees, monthly revenue on a reoccurring basis. So the more units we have out there, we get that money in every month, month in, month out, you know, regardless, and not have to do much customer service. It's already in there, and it's doing its job. You know, cool. It's kind of like having a vending machine out there.
Well, I've got some questions about, you know, what if it reads wrong and how that would affect somebody. But before we do that, you were kind of, you're a humble guy. You're like, I don't want to talk too much about myself and what I've done.
I am a humble guy.
But I was like, you got the failures. So that's what people relate to. So what's been like maybe one or two of your biggest failures you've made in business? And on the other end of it, you came out with like some lessons. Because at the end of the day, that's what we do, right? We fail, we learn, we fail, we learn.
Yes, absolutely.
We can get to a place of success eventually.
Absolutely. And I am a lifelong entrepreneur, you know, and when you are a lifelong entrepreneur, there's ups and there's downs. And
always.
You got to zig and you got to zag. Otherwise, you know, you just get punched in the face. And as Mike Tyson said, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face. So, you know, like I said, I had a very large tax resolution business. You know, we were making a ton of money. I had, you know, close to 70 employees. And one day I woke up, the government changed the rules. And they said, that's the rules. We're changing the rules. You can no longer operate under those conditions. And you're basically stuck out of business or, you know, so.
It's crazy how that can just happen.
It can just happen. Government, technology, just different things can put you out of business. You don't even see them coming.
So you always got to be ready to pivot and change.
Yeah. I mean, many years ago, right after I came out of San Diego State, I started a business opportunities business where I was, you know, advertising in newspapers, classified sections all over the country. This was way before the internet. You know, it had these classified that were, you know, that were that thick at that day, you know, you can't find them anymore. And I'd get calls all day long. And then as the internet came around, I started noticing that, you know, instead of having 20 guys of my competitors every Sunday morning in that section, it was just me and one other guy. And I wasn't getting any calls. I used to get a ton of calls. It took me years to realize that business opportunity marketing had moved to Craigslist and other types of things like that. You know, it was like 3 years later, I'm like, oh, should have just stayed in it. You know what I mean? But so sometimes you don't even see them coming. And, you know, as an entrepreneur, you have to face those challenges and, you know, keep going one day at a time, one foot in front of the other.
Yeah. What was the key to building your company to 70 employees? That's a really impressive number. You obviously were, you know, growing.
Sales.
But it's growing the team with sales, not just being the guy that does it yourself.
Correct. But being the guy who can do it yourself gives you the ability to teach others how to do it. You know your business. You don't have to rely on anybody else. The guy doesn't show up. You say, no problem. I'll do it myself. And it's sales. If anybody tells you anything different, they're wrong. It's all about in business. You've got to get out there. You got to pound the pavement, pound the phone, pound the doors, do whatever it takes. You got to get the sales.
That's the one thing every successful person I've talked to always agrees with, is it's all about the sales.
All about
CEO sales. Of BDIC, Lawrence Wehner, is joining us. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. What do you feel like is the hardest thing about breaking away from like the 9-to-5 job into the entrepreneur space?
Well, you know, I know everybody talks about risk and walking away from that weekly paycheck, that weekly budget that you know how much you're going to get paid and how much your car payment is and your rent payment at the end of the week. You know, you got enough and you got it covered. I know that's, you know, obviously the one part of it. And you got to make sure you've got funds. So
cash flow management,
you got to do the sales. Again, if you can do the sales,
you
can generate the cash to keep going. Yeah. If you can do the sales, you don't have to rely on loans and different types of stuff. I mean, it really depends on the type of business, but you know, you've got to assume the risk, and there's lots of risk. Obviously, you can go broke. You can credit scores take a hit. Things like that happen when you're an entrepreneur because life just happens. And it's just a risky business, but the rewards can be great. And beyond the money that one can make as being an entrepreneur, you always have this, you know, warm, fuzzy feeling that you've employed people. You know what I mean? I always say the one thing they can put on my gravestone is I hired some people in my day. You know, I created jobs, I paid people. And I think that, you know, that's a benefit to everybody if you can create jobs and help people work and
I love that.
Keep the economy going like that.
So outside from that, you kept saying sales, 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 sales.
Correct.
So if somebody's not good at sales, which I hear is the excuse all the time, I'm sure you've heard it as well.
Correct.
They go, well, if I got to start my business, I got to bring sales in, but I'm not good at it or I don't like feeling salesy. How does somebody overcome that? If you're the only one responsible for sales, it's just you.
Practice, practice, practice.
Okay. Don't use it as an excuse.
Just practice, practice. Plenty of books out there. Plenty of people that can help you. You know, there's plenty of, I mean, even today I watch shows like The Prophet, Billion Dollar Buyer.
We had him in here, Tim, sitting right where you were sitting.
Really fantastic. Let me not. but you know, those guys...
Yeah.
If you just watch those shows, you'll get lessons from that you can take that will help you. There's millions of
Shark
books
Tank,
out there.
YouTube.
Shark Tank,
You grew up when there wasn't that technology and you still made it happen. But nowadays, we're inundated with information.
Inundated with the information.
No
There's
excuse.
So much. No excuse. Yeah. No excuse. You just got to get the self-confidence. Just pull up your bootstraps and do it. If you're going to make excuses for that, you really don't belong as an entrepreneur, in my opinion.
I think one of the keys, and I agree with you, is if you can... And there's really no excuse for this either. If you can find mentors, sometimes the best mentors are in books and online, and you can just watch their videos.
Correct.
And again, read their books and find their information for free.
For free.
Did you ever have great mentors growing up?
You know, I want to say that my old man, obviously, was a businessman his whole life and, you know, grew up with him and he always talked business. And
a little bit rubbed off on you?
A little bit rubbed off on me there. So I would say a lot of it's genetic for me and that I kind of grew up in an entrepreneurial household. So I had that advantage maybe. Yeah.
But some people do and they end up failing when some people would make the excuse of like, well, I didn't. So that's why this guy was successful and why I can't be. I feel like people always try to find the excuse, but for you with mentors though, did you get like one big lesson that has followed you throughout life that you keep going back to?
You know, I, like you said, we didn't have quite the resources that we had that you have today. Back in, you know, when I was coming up, it was basically you go to the bookstore. And really, there was Tom Hopkins, The Art of Selling Anything. And I think there was How to Make Friends and Influence People by
Dale Carnegie.
That's about all there was. And I read those books and, you know,
those are classics today. Still.
They are still classics today.
Yeah.
And I read those books and, you know, there are some valuable lessons in there, but there's no valuable lesson like experience. You just have to put on the jacket. Put on the blue uniform, whatever it takes, and get out there and do it. There's nothing gonna prepare you for it, but just doing it. It really isn't that hard. All it is talking to people and trying to listen. Obviously, there are people that just don't have the personality for that. I would say that if you dig deep enough, it's in there for everybody who really wants it. If you really want it, you'll find that spirit. You'll find that inspiration to pick up the phone, call your target customer, and spit it out and ask for the sale and see what happens. All they can do is say no.
Yeah, I love what you're saying.
All they can do is say no.
At the end of the day, you got to put in the reps, you got to put in the practice, and nothing trumps experience.
Nothing trumps experience and just doing it. Pick up the phone, like I said, ask for the sale. And all they can do is say no.
That's right. All they can do is say no. We'll be right back with Lawrence Wehner to find out more of his keys to success. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. Connecting a community of entrepreneurs is what we do. So you can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 0707 at checkout. That's harrys.com. Code 0707. Enjoy.
This report is.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Lawrence Wehner is joining us right now. He's the CEO of BDIC. Recap for us what your business does.
Well, like I said, we're in the criminal offender monitoring space, mainly focused right now on alcohol ignition interlock devices, which are laws in all 50 states. We're trying to get approved in all 50 states. We're currently approved in 11, functionally operating in approximately 7 of them. Because we have incredible demand for the product, and we've just received some funding to manufacture a couple thousand units, and we'll put those out on the road here pretty soon and get those monetized and into our reoccurring revenue stream.
That's fantastic. We were just talking about how, you know, when is the right time to raise money? A lot of people are trying to raise money, and it may or may not be right for their business. How did you know that it was the right move to raise close to $1 million for your business?
Well, it was based on sales demand. I knew that I had a demand for the product. I knew that I needed money to manufacture my product. My product, we manufacture overseas, pretty expensive. There's, you know, pretty intensive technology within this thing because there's live reporting, there's GPS, there's, you know, there's the inside the device is a lot of software as well as hardware.
You got to make sure nobody's getting screwed over.
Yeah, no one's getting screwed over, and that, you know, the states are properly being reported to, and that nobody can tamper with the equipment.
A lot of stuff in there.
And a lot of stuff in there. I had a particular hurdle to cross where I had this huge demand for my product. And I don't mean like individual demand from individual offenders. The way we're growing our business, and something we, you know, would like to talk about is how we're focused on growing our business, is to find in this business a state-of-the-art breath alcohol ignition interlock device is not so much a concern of the consumer. Although, you know, consumers always drive sales, it's more of a function of the people that are in the industry, the judges, the probation officers, the parole officers, the Department of Motor Vehicles, whoever you're doing the reporting to, as well as the people who deal with these devices on a daily basis, these distributors who have been distributors of some of our major competitors for many years, but are working with very old and ancient equipment. Our plan is to go in there and flip those distributors over to our device. This way we put 600 units or 1,600 units out in the market overnight, as opposed to one criminal offender at a time. Would take, you know, years and years and years to do. Although, you know, we do have, you know, different prongs. We do have our own retail that we do our own one by one by one.
So let's break it down. So you do one-on-one sales.
One-on-one sales.
But you're trying to get yourself integrated into the distribution channels of other people. How's that process look?
The process works like this. We get approved by the state of Maryland, let's say, for example.
Okay.
Just passed some very strict laws in this industry for people who are going to get these convictions. So the laws have become very, very tough. Now, there are people out there that already have 1,000 customers who use these devices and already have built those business relationships in Maryland or Pennsylvania, or wherever the case might be. They've built those relationships with the parole officers and the judges and the bail bondsmen and the different way that these customers flow into our business. It really depends on the state and how it works, where the choke point is. Could be the parole officer, could be the driving school, could be the judge himself.
So in business, people usually refer to that as like the gatekeeper?
The gatekeeper, correct. Yes, that's what exact. Good word. Good word. The gatekeeper for our business is different in every state. But once you identify that person, they've already have those relationships. They've built those relationships for, 5-10 years already. They already have a constant flow of new offenders coming through their doors. So all we do is basically go to them and change from where they've been getting their, from the manufacturer they've been using. Now, I don't want to use anybody's names. I'm supposed to say, our competitors, our competitors' devices, because we're, and they basically are switching contracts over
to us.
So
what's the benefit to them, though? Because that's really the key here, right? Is it's like, unless you're like their brother-in-law and like you feel like from a family, like, I got to keep this contract here, there's got to be a reason for them to switch over. Is it
absolutely
that they're going to get a little bit more money because they use yours?
No.
Why are they going to make the switch?
Money's not the big deal here. Money, more or less, for them will be the same.
So what's the switch?
The switch is the technology. Many states are going to require, many states today require live reporting, GPS, camera technology that many of our competitors don't have.
So it's simply, we're going to have a better quality product we stand by and represent ourselves with. And
well,
that's yours.
Not so much that. The legislature has passed rules that my competitors' devices don't even meet. Okay, so they're going to lose their certification in those states.
Yeah, okay.
So those distributors that have built a business over 10 years with that device are going to be out of business unless they switch devices or the manufacturer that they're already using goes and produces a more modern device. Most of our competitors are using devices that were manufactured before Bluetooth was even a word in the English language. Our device is so much more modern, so much more, it's wireless, it has GPS technology, it has camera technology. Again, these are not things the consumer cares about. It's what the state of Oklahoma cares about. If they're going to allow you to get this vendor contract in their state to install these devices on their offenders, they want live reporting. So when the guy blows a violation, it's reported directly at that in real time. Yeah. And a highway patrolman or a cop can pull up and see what's going on.
This reminds me of what you said earlier, which is that you've got to have your ear on the railroad and be aware of the changes happening. We've got the CEO of BDIC, Lawrence Wehner, joining us. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack, and we're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Innovation, that's kind of the key here. I feel like that's what's giving you a competitive edge.
Correct. We have just a better machine that's reaching the modern requirements that the states are changing their laws to. 5 years ago, no state required a camera on the device to determine that the person blowing is actually the person who has the
conviction. Yeah, I can just
conviction.
Be like, yo.
Right, he's not just giving his kid and saying, blow on it.
Yeah.
Right, so
I'll give you a candy bar.
So states are going to camera technology. Some of our competitors, their device doesn't have the ability to do that. It just doesn't have the hardware to do that. The live reporting is a function of being able
it just makes it's the inevitable. You have to have live reporting, you have to have video, you have to have all these things.
Right. Well, 5 years ago, live reporting didn't exist. So all they did was download the data and send it into the state via email or by mail or whatever the case might be. But today, states don't want that. They want a device that's going to give them real data in real time about what's happening with their criminals that they're allowing, out of prison and back on the roads or whatever. They want to know in real time what's going on.
That's the trend, though, is in any business, we want real-time data. If it's me spending marketing dollars, if it's, in this case, you know, for blowing, for criminals, it doesn't matter what it is. People want real-time data.
And my competitors do not have that software.
It reminds me of, like, a Blockbuster Netflix. Like, Blockbuster felt like they had dominated and established the contracts with the customers, essentially.
And
then Netflix
comes in.
Film versus digital.
Correct. They don't even see it coming.
Why is that, though? I mean, even in your industry,
You don't see it coming?
It goes across all industries. People like establish themselves.
You know, when you're making money, you get into a kind of a comfort zone where you just don't want to hear anything different. You know what I mean?
I think it's the six most deadly words. We've always done it this way. Get out of here.
We've always done it this way, right? 30 years ago, someone told me to hammer this nail, and I've been doing it for 30 years, and I'm not doing it.
This is how I built it.
And this is how I built it.
You're a rock star, Lawrence. I appreciate you for coming on the show, brother.
Thanks very much for having me, man. I really appreciate it, bud.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. Connecting a community of entrepreneurs is what we do, so you can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Joining us right now is Isabella Taylor. She's the founder and designer of Isabella Rose Taylor. It's a pleasure to have you on the show with us.
It's so exciting to be here.
So tell us what your company does. I'm blown away by you, by the way. You're 15 years old.
Yes, well, I have a clothing line. It's a contemporary clothing line for women ages 15 to 25. And I started actually as an artist when I was very young, and then when I was around 9 is actually when I learned to sew and kind of got into this whole industry, kind of by accident, actually.
So you're making the clothes yourself?
I started out sewing clothes, selling them at trunk shows, selling them online. It really was a hobby that kind of slowly over the years developed into a business. Definitely grew quite quickly. I got noticed by major retailers, so had to scale very rapidly. I was a huge learning experience, learned so much. I mean, I didn't start out with a business plan or anything. It kind of just evolved, and I just learned over the years. I'm currently enrolled at Parsons, so I'm learning so much at school and also just in
just
industry. No, it's a design school in New York.
Okay, cool. So I don't know your industry, so I don't know.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't.
So you said you've got started 6 years ago, which means that you were 9 years old when you actually got started, just kind of like dabbling in what led to you being where you are today. So tell me about that. How did you ultimately start to want to craft yourself into being an entrepreneur?
Yes, well, I'd always been painting, and I actually started selling my art when I was quite young. For me, I've always been quite creative.
How young is quite young? Because you're 15, people are like, she's still so young.
I was around like 3 years old when I started
3 years old. You're
painting.
Selling like little finger painting drawings?
Yeah, that's when I had started, and then over the years, I just kept painting. I still do paint and draw, and it's kind of an anchor in my clothing line. But
is it integrated like onto the clothing?
Yes, I make my own textiles, graphics, all of that. They're both very inspired by each other. And I would always sell my paintings. I've always been the kind of person that when I make something, I really want to share it. And kind of being entrepreneurial, selling business, it's always been very interesting to me. So when I learned to sew, of course, I would you know, make stuff for my friends, myself, and then I'd want to sell it. I'd want to do trunk shows. I'd want to put it out there, social media, on Facebook at the time, start my own website. So, I mean, it kind of was a natural first step in a way, but I did not expect it at all to take me where it's taken me today, where I've kind of now really learning about the business side and all of that. And, I mean, I learned so much about this industry. It's crazy. Yeah. It's constantly evolving.
Tell me about your family. Do you have brothers and sisters? Are you the youngest, the oldest?
I'm the youngest. I have one older sister. Okay. And both my parents are actually involved in my business. So it's kind of family affair.
How cool is that?
Yeah.
So do they know? Do they kind of like push you down entrepreneurship? Or did you just kind of decide that you wanted to do it?
Well, both my parents are actually in the medical field. So business and especially the fashion industry, quite out of their realm. But
I was going to say, did they want you to become a doctor?
No, they never. They always just really wanted me to make a living basically out of what I love to do. And that's always been a big goal of mine. But yeah, I mean, whether they wanted to or not, they've learned a lot about the fashion industry and they've been incredibly supportive every step of the way.
I wish you would have brought in some of your clothes. Now I'm so curious. We're going to have to slice in B-roll cut so people can see what we're talking about here.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know what it is. What do you feel like has been some of the biggest lessons you've learned? I mean, you're only 15, but you've been doing it for a while. Mm-hmm. And regardless of your age, I feel like you've probably gone through quite a learning curve. So what do you feel like some of those lessons are that you've learned?
Definitely. I've really learned the importance of the business side, of course. I mean, definitely through trial and error manufacturing. I mean, there's so many things that can go wrong in producing a line. But I would say that's a big point. And also just learning to ask questions and really putting myself out there, selling myself, branding not only my company, but also me as a person. I think that's helped a lot because I've gotten to connect with so many amazing people who have really taken me so much further. I've been able to learn from their experiences as well as my own.
Have you had any mentors that have really impacted you in your life besides your parents?
Yeah, definitely. I've met so many amazing designers, female entrepreneurs along the way. I'm part of the Dell Women Entrepreneur Network, and I'm always so inspired by all those women. I mean, they're incredibly successful, and I aspire to one day be like them.
That's wonderful. I always love saying the people whose first name and last name is their company. So founder and designer of Isabella Rose Taylor. Isabella Taylor is joining us right now. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Mark Lack. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. What's been one of the biggest failures you've had? I know, again, you're only 15, so I feel like you probably have your parents supporting you, and so you can't have a failure like maybe somebody who has a family and kids, and if they fail, it affects their whole family. For you, you're so young, you could make as many failures and mistakes as you want over the next 10 years, you'll be fine. But what's been a big failure or mistake that you've gone through?
Definitely. I mean, I'd say there's been a lot of consistent ones, especially starting out and growing so rapidly, a lot of putting out fires. One kind of big one, especially in the fashion industry, you always have to be a complete year ahead as far as designing, manufacturing. So I did fall into a pattern of constantly being behind, and it can be quite hard to catch up. So I'd say that's been one of the biggest failures because it kind of lasted the longest. But luckily, I've been able to sort that out.
What do your friends think about this? I know that when I was 15, people weren't thinking about being entrepreneurs. I wasn't thinking about being an entrepreneur until like 19 years old. So what do your friends think about this? What you're doing?
All my friends are really supportive. Some of my friends are pursuing their interests, whether that be acting, dancing, singing. So, I mean, I feel like I'm very inspired by my friends. They're all doing such amazing things, and they're all very supportive. I just feel like people my age, it's actually becoming, you know, more and more common to see, you know, kids really pursuing their dreams. And I think that's so amazing. I mean, everyone's so connected with social media and everything. You really get to, you know, share your story and put it out there. And I'm always so excited whenever I see another young person, you know, doing well. And, you know, it's exciting.
Well, I love it because I'm from the millennial generation, Gen Y. Mm-hmm. And very rarely do I see people in Gen Z that are doing entrepreneurship and things like that. So I love, just like you do, seeing other young people that are crushing it, following their dreams and their passion. And I feel like we're so lucky, both Gen Y and Gen Z, especially Gen Z, because now you guys are growing up in the technology era. You guys have access to technology at your fingertips. What was that like? Did you grow up like with a cell phone in your hand at like 5 years old?
I mean, I was so young. Like, I remember, you know, having an iPod when I was so young, especially since I had an older sister. I was very much always surrounded by technology, and I think that, I mean, it totally changes, I think, how you learn, how you connect, and I mean, social media allows you to brand yourself as an individual. I mean, it's crazy. I think it's a completely different, like, learning process and everything, so.
How do you use social media?
I mean, I use it personally and for my business. I think
How are you using it for your business?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great way to connect with other people, do collaborations. I mean, there's really endless possibilities, reaching out to influencers. It kind of makes the world smaller in a way, which is ideal for business, really.
How are you using it, though, for your brand? Are you getting people to, you know, wear your clothes and then tag themselves in it? Are you doing quizzes, surveys?
Yeah.
Like, how do you grow your social media? How do you use it for your brand?
Mm-hmm. I've definitely done a lot of giveaways. One thing I do is I send a lot to different influencers, a lot of really, you know, kind of cool girls, like, pursuing their passions, awesome, like, cutting-edge singers, things like that, Instagram it girls kind of things like that.
So it worked?
Yeah, it's been great.
And I know, I think, it's like hit or miss. Sometimes they don't, sometimes they do.
Yeah, exactly. It is hit or miss. But I mean, what I have gotten is to kind of create a sense of community, which is great because I want my brand to sort of become more of a community and a connection versus just close.
Why do you do what you do? It's a loaded question. Maybe tough for a 15-year-old to answer, but I'm curious. You seem smarter than the average 15-year-old. So why do you do what you do?
I do it because I think it's really what I love to do creatively, but I think there's also a bigger point behind that, being kind of like female empowerment and creativity. And I've been so inspired by so many female entrepreneurs and so many artists and designers, and it's kind of combining that. And my big goal is, like, I hope that I can encourage other people to believe that despite their age, they can also pursue what they're interested in and take those first steps.
What's your advice for the other young people out there? Or even the older people, I guess, because they're probably like blown away and like, oh my God, if I started at 9 years old, 15 years old, right? What's your advice for just entrepreneurs in general?
I would say definitely find something you're passionate about, because it is going to be a lot of hard work, a lot of long hours. So if you don't have that passion, you're definitely going to burn out. Also, I think asking for help is so big, you know. Learn from other people's experiences. Put yourself out there. Ask questions. I mean, I've gotten some of my biggest, like, connections and breakthroughs through having the courage to just ask somebody and kind of be humble. And I think also just, I mean, never stop learning, never stop seeking out knowledge. You can't wait for it to come to you.
What's one of the most recent books you've read? I feel like a lot of kids these days aren't reading as much as they should outside of school. Do you have books that you read? You're like a genius whiz kid here, so I'm curious.
Yeah, I mean, obviously I have all my textbooks for school and stuff. One of my personal favorite, I guess, two books. I love Life of Pi. I feel like a lot of people love that book.
What book?
Life of Pi.
Okay.
I know the movie came out a few years ago. That's one of my favorites. And then also Passage to India. So
let's shift gears and talk about technology. Do you have any tech gadgets or apps or anything like that that you like to use?
Definitely. I think, like, obviously, like, all the social media apps are kind of huge. I mean, things like Boomerang that kind of go along with them.
Explain Boomerang.
Are fun.
I don't know what it is.
Oh, yeah, of course. It's kind of a photo app where you can make small GIFs that can be used, like, on Twitter, Instagram, things like that are great. I like a lot of, like, personal kind of apps like Moves, like, tracks your movement, stuff like that.
Do you have a Fitbit?
I don't. I wish I did, though. That'd be cool. And I also love just, like, websites. Also, like, WGSN, kind of fashion business websites.
What's the most used app on your phone? Because there's apps that will tell you the most used app on your phone. I'm curious if you know what it is.
I'm pretty sure it's Instagram, but I had to guess. I spend a lot of time on there.
Honestly, mine's probably Facebook. I feel even terrible even thinking that I spend that much time on there. But I do a lot of it. Well, actually, all of it for business, and I'm constantly running ads and stuff on there. You said Instagram is something that you're using a lot for your business.
Yeah.
What are some of the mistakes you see people make on Instagram?
I would say maybe it's important to kind of have your message out. I think if you're putting out just a lot of content just very frequently, going for that mass approach, that can work to some extent, but just it's unclear to your followers, and I think it's better to kind of have a more specific, high-quality post where people can really get a good understanding and buy into the community you're creating, so your page looks cohesive. They get a good understanding versus getting 3 posts a day, unless you are a big company that can provide great quality multiple times a day.
So you said you did a few TEDx talks. What were those on?
Yes, I've done a lot kind of on following your dreams, kind of dreaming big, those kind of things, just because that fits into sort of what I believe in. I've done one that I did in India, and that was kind of comparing business to the lotus, sort of how the lotus can self-monitor its own temperature, how you should assess yourself in business constantly, because it's hard to be, kind of be aware of what you're doing, I think, to some extent. You get lost in it. So taking a step back, looking at what you're doing.
I'm excited to see the trajectory of your success, because and it'd be 11 years before you get to my age. And that just seems ridiculous because you're so young. So I appreciate you for coming on the show. This is probably one of many that you'll be on. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or more importantly, if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare, and MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is around $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. Hispanic entrepreneurs are confident about their 2019 business outlook, according to the 2019 Bank of America Hispanic Small Business Owner Spotlight. A strong majority are planning for increased revenue, expansion, and long-term growth. However, low unemployment is creating obstacles for Hispanic business owners looking to recruit and retain talent. Elizabeth Romero, small business executive at Bank of America.
Hispanic entrepreneurs are embracing a more confident outlook toward growth compared to their non-Hispanic peers. However, the ultra-competitive labor market has made hiring and retaining employees a significant challenge.
Optimism is also paving the way for future generations of Hispanic business owners. 34% of Hispanic entrepreneurs say their business has grown beyond their original vision, and 38% plan to pass their business on to their children. For more information, visit newsroom.bankofamerica.com.
Hey, have you ever... Are you building your business to win? And how does business strategy and law play a role in that? Jessica Ullman, founder of the Vero Law Group, is here to help us on that topic. I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Jessica, it's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Thanks, Mark. It's a pleasure to be here.
So your company, the Vero Law Group, helps entrepreneurs and business owners with business strategy and law. So how can those things help a business owner win?
So in the big picture, and the question you ask, are you building a business to win? And I think each person has to get really clear on the answer to that question. Because if your answer is yes, and you're building a business to win, then every decision that you make in your company should be with the assumption that you're going to be successful. How does that play out as you're actually growing your business? Sometimes people come to me and they're trying to figure out, as they start their company, should they work with a business attorney to form their company, let's say. If you're building a business to win, the answer is, of course, you want to start a relationship with this key strategic advisor to your business. You need to understand how the law affects your business. What do you do with this company after it's been formed? All the places that a lawyer works with you that's beyond, let's say, forming your company online. And the answer is yes, of course. If you're not sure if you're building a business to win, you might be cutting corners and trying to figure out other solutions because you aren't sure that you'll be successful.
So what are some of the common mistakes you see people make? You do this every single day. This is what your business does. So when people come to you, either they already have this Gordian knot mistake they've already made you're trying to solve, or maybe they're just getting started. What are some of those mistakes you see them make?
So the biggest mistake, still talking about the big picture, is not thinking big enough. At this point, I have interviewed and spoken to over 1,000 people calling into my law firm about us potentially working together. And I ask everyone the same question, which is, If you could build any business that you want 3 years from now, but you had to describe it to me right now, what would it look like? And what I've found over time and getting all the answers to this question is that the only limitation that we have as entrepreneurs is how big we can think. So at this point, the way that someone answers that question, I could literally tell at least the maximum capacity that they have for success. So it's a completely different story if someone comes in and tells me, oh, I'll be making $100,000 in revenue and have an assistant, versus if they tell me I'm going to have $10 million in revenue and have 10 employees. That the decisions you make, the way you're thinking, everything you're doing starting from the exact same point is building towards a completely different result.
Well, I want to go into like a whole seminar with you right now just about how people can, you know, shift their mindset and take action and create the environments to help them succeed. But we're more focused right now on business strategy and law.
Yes.
What are some of those business strategies and tactics people can implement in their business so that they can win?
Okay. A big one would be with trademarks. So a lot of people think of a trademark as something that you get to protect yourself from other people using the name. And that's really important, of course, especially as you grow. But when you're first starting a business, my philosophy is that you should apply for a trademark immediately once you know your name.
In what context? Just for the name of my business?
For the name.
For the industry and niche or use of it?
Yes, exactly. Okay. So you apply for the words, trademark,
and
basic word. The logo would be second, but the words especially, and let
Most
me tell
important.
You why. Because you're about to invest tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands plus dollars in marketing and branding. And the worst result is to invest all that money over the next couple years, open your eyes one day and say, you know what, we're at a point of success that I'm ready to apply for that trademark. You go to apply for the mark and it turns out you can't get the trademark because let's say it's too generic, or even worse, someone else has the right to use that mark. And they could potentially shut you out of using the words for your own business.
Yeah, so you gotta get that trademark in place.
Gotta get the trademark.
And if you're building your business to win, you gotta think big. Founder of the Vera Law Group, Jessica Ullman's joining us. I'm Mark Lack, this is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. We're talking about building your business to win using business strategies and law. What are some of the things, we just talked about trademarks being one of them, what about contracts? I feel like a lot of people try to do things on a handshake these days, which is fine. I wish we could just operate that way, but you know we can't. So what about contracts? When should people use them? When should they invest money and time to get those for their business?
So ultimately, if you think about it, you actually have a contract with every single person you do business with. That's with clients, employees, contractors, anyone that you're touching in business, you have a contract with them. Now, what are the terms of those contracts? And that's where the written contract comes into play. And in an ideal world, you should be working towards having a written agreement with everyone that you do business with.
How can people make sure that they protect themselves when it comes to contracts so that they can make sure that just because they have a contract and they're signing it, they're actually protected? Because again, people will have you sign a contract and it's 40 pages deep. You have to hire an attorney for thousands of dollars to read it for you.
Yeah.
You say, screw it, I trust the person, I'm going to just sign it. Sometimes that gets people into trouble.
So the best strategy is to find an awesome business attorney who understands your business, understands the size of business that you have and the place you are in business, and can draft a contract for you and your company that is appropriate in length, but also tone. You know, some businesses are more casual and want to have a contract that sounds like we're talking to each other.
Yeah.
Other businesses want the formality. Maybe they're working with big corporations, and you need to have contracts for your business that are appropriate and also really feel like an extension of you on paper. So once you have customized contracts for your business, you can use those for your relationships. And then if you and I are doing business together and you give me a 40-page contract, let's say for a deal that's worth $30,000, I might just say, you know what?
It's not worth it.
Not worth it.
I've done that before too.
I've thought through my contracts and this over here makes sense to me and that doesn't. But it's not until I go through the process of getting really clear in my business on how I want my contracts to be set up that I'm really empowered to say something like that.
Two or three pages, like three to five max.
Well, anytime somebody
we might argue about that, but it depends on the deal. It's contextual.
It's contextual.
Okay. Yeah.
But just, yeah, I mean, I've had people hand me 40, 50 page contracts, yeah. and I have some of the biggest, baddest attorneys in the nation on my side, but they're not cheap, obviously. And,
yeah.
and I don't want, I just go 40, 50 pages, you're hiding something.
Too much.
And it's like, I don't want to do that.
Or they're just using someone else's contract and haven't really thought through it,
yeah.
because that's probably not appropriate for this size of deal.
Yeah, this is good stuff. I feel like if people want to get more information about you, where can they find you?
At verolawgroup.com.
Awesome.
And I also have the new course that we're launching. So
Wonderful.
That's on a bigger scale, coursecorrected.com.
Okay, so verolawgroup.com.
Yes.
Awesome, Jessica.
Thank you for coming on the show. Thank you.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. Connecting a community of entrepreneurs is what we do. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
This information is given with the understanding that neither the host nor the station is engaged in rendering legal, accounting, business, or other professional advice. Since the details of your situation are unique, you should additionally seek the advice and services of a competent professional.